Good morning. If you care to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. As you're turning, let me remind you after the service today, we'll have lunch. Hope everybody can stay and have something to eat and enjoy a time of fellowship. And at 6:30 this evening, we're going to have a cookout at Simpson Valley. For those of you who live here, bring your own lawn chair. So we've got plenty of places for folks to sit. If you're not from here and you want to follow someone or you can ask one of the Simpsons, Isaac's getting me the address now. You can ask me after the service. You can put that in your GPS and it will work even out all the way out there. So hope you can come out there this evening and enjoy a time together. I have been so looking forward to this meeting. I just can't tell you how I've looked forward to it. And after the messages last night, even more so. Two just outstanding messages. Kevin and Chris, I hope the Lord blesses you this morning like he did last night. It's such a blessing and looking forward to it. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, oh, how we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you put all things in him. That everything concerning salvation and righteousness, eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, is all found in one person, in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you always work all things after the counsel of your own will. That your will and purpose is always done. And oh, how we thank you that it is your purpose to save your people, the people who you love, who you chose in electing love and put in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you it is your purpose to redeem those people, to ultimately glorify them to the praise of your glory. Father, we're thankful. And Father, I pray it may be your purpose this morning to reveal yourself to your people through the preaching of your Son. Father, show us your glory, we pray. Reveal to us the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and enable us to hear and to believe him. Father, we pray that you'd be with Kevin and with Chris in a special way this morning. Give them an unction from on high. Uphold them with thy Spirit. Enable them to clear and simple terms declare our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this time and ask that you bless it according to your will and purpose and your glory. All these things we ask in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's stand together as Isaac leads us in singing a couple of hymns.
Page 450.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love, it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
Page 17.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Well, after last night, our first speaker needs no introduction here. Pastor Kevin Thacker of San Diego Grace Fellowship. And we're delighted, Kevin, to have you, and you come preach the message God's given to you.
Hello again. How y'all doing? I'm glad to be here and thankful. I didn't get a thank you last night, but thank you, this congregation, for the support that you've given to that church in San Diego. I appreciate you and appreciate every one of you. And I want to let you know that the Lord's worked there mightily. The last 2 years have been, not that we keep track of these things, but five brethren have professed Christ in that short period of time. He let me watch that. I appreciate your all's support. And I'm thankful for the brethren from New Jersey coming down. And it seems like wherever I go, there's somebody familiar faces I've recently preached to. And there's so many familiar faces here, so it makes it easy for me. I'm thankful for that. I went through my notes this morning. Normally I take a highlighter, and different colors mean different things. I draw little lines, and I got through, and it looks more like a neon sign than notes. And so I hope I'm not too long-winded for you. But my text is not what we're going to look at first. I'm full of Henry today, and we're going to get a little ways in, and then I'm going to say, now we're going to turn to our text. But I'll try my best to be brief with you. If you will, open to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. If we read these scriptures, and we see a good moral lesson, we see practical instruction. We go read Ephesians 5. Husbands, how are we supposed to treat our wives? If all we get out of that is our walk in this world, we've not seen Christ. You can get the why out of it, didn't you? There's been no good news given to us. As we're going to see this morning, I pray, every miracle that our Lord performed on this earth, it's a picture of the spiritual work that He does in and for His people. Those that were given sight, the blind, that's the most common miracle. The blind that were given sight, there was a day they closed their eyes in death, physically. Those given the ability to walk, they were lame. Oh, now they can run. You know what they're doing now? Their body's laying still in the grave. Those risen from the dead, physically they had to die again. John the Baptist, he sent these men to see if this is the Christ. He thought his time was up. He said, I want you to know Him. I want you to follow Him. And it says there in verse 3, Matthew 11, verse 3, and He said unto him, those men sent by John the Baptist, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John. Go show him again those things which you do hear and see. You tell him everything you've heard, everything you saw. You heard my word, and you saw my miracles. It says, the blind receive their sight. Would you agree that's a miracle? Most people walking down the street wouldn't. That's a miracle. The lame walk. It's a miracle. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. Miracles. The dead raised up. Miracles. And goes with it. The poor have the gospel preached to them. That's a miracle. Christ said so. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in the miracles and the blind seeing. No, in me. In me. He's telling these men, and for them to tell John, he said, you remember what Isaiah prophesied concerning Christ. That's what he's telling them. Concerning the Messiah. What was it that Isaiah prophesied? Let's go look at it. Is that all right? Turn to Isaiah 35. I want to tell you today, Lord willing, the same thing our Lord told these men here in Matthew 11. I want to tell you what the Lord said. Remember what the Lord said. Isaiah 35. Begin in verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. What's going to happen after that? Look in verse 5. Then, He'll come and save you. Then, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. So many children of God, the Lord's people, they worry so often. I worry so often. Am I saved? Am I the Lord's? Am I His? Or do I just have a head knowledge of this? Is this logical? Is this what mommy and daddy did? And that's what I do. Am I His? We'll see in a bit, I hope. But I cannot bind you in comfort. I can't wrap you up in comfort. Only the Lord can. I can tell you to remember what He said. He's going to be at the one, He'll have to be the one that does it. So just like Christ pointed John the Baptist to the Word, I point you to the Word. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? Not audibly. We know better than that, don't we? But do you hear Him? His comforting words when He speaks to His children. Fear not, it is I. Fear not. That's something to hear. Oh, I wish I could hear that, don't you? Before, you only heard what you needed to do. You got to do something. Oh, now I hear, fear not, it's done. Doctor, now you listen intently to what's done. Do you see Christ now? Before, you didn't see Him. He saved you, and then you had eyes to see Him. Now I see Him in these scriptures. Now I see Him in these miracles. You rejoice now. Before, you were heavy laden. You were burdened with sin, always without relief. You know why? Because you bore it. You bore the sin. You carried the sin. After Christ saved you, He revealed Himself to you. Do you see that He bore your sin? He carried it. There's peace and rest in that, aren't there? If you see that, you rejoice. Look in verse 7, Isaiah 35, 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs water. My soul was dry, it was parched, it was weary. And now there's living water overflowing. Overflowing from. In the habitation of dragons, for each leg shall be grass with reeds and rushes. This world was scary. Oh, it's dangerous, isn't it? I ain't had TV in I don't know how long. I was in the motel and I turned the news on. I said, ooh, I'm gonna turn that back off. My blood pressure started going up. There's dragons out there, ain't there? Dangerous things. Before, I was worried of those things. Now, my Lord is sovereign over all. Is there evil in the city and the Lord hadn't brought it to pass? That's for His glory, isn't it? Calm down. Settle down into Him. The unclean shall not pass over. I'm sorry. Verse 8. And a highway shall there be, and a way, and it shall be called the way, capital T, the way of holiness. A straight and narrow. Now I see, now I hear. This isn't a road that I must walk. It's a person. The way is a person that leads me. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Fool said, no, God. That's what the fool said. I'll have my own way. Verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed, those bought, those purchased, His possession, shall walk there. And we look for the Lord's return, don't we? Now we know Him. Now we hear Him. Now we see Him. And we pray for His return. Look in verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing, all those things, shall flee away. That's a miracle. These miracles of giving sight, healing the lame, raising the dead, those are just outward pictures of an eternal heart work the Lord does in His people. Giving a new heart for His people. A work performed by God for His glory. That's called the miracle of salvation. Thy salvation. Now let's turn over to Mark 5. We'll turn to my text and I'll be brief. Mark chapter 5. This morning I pray the Lord allow us to see us. I want us to see us what we truly are, and then I want us to see the one thing needful, the one who can save us. Here in Mark 5, we'll begin in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, physically, was there a man that lived in the graveyard that was crazy? Yes, that physically happened, didn't it? But this is ever child born from Adam's loins. That's every one of us. I hope we can see that. Lord has to reveal this to us. This ain't just some guy that Christ did a work in. This is us. Spiritually, what takes place. In verse 2, it says there, the man had an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. What better word could describe a natural man? This old man that we are. This nature we were born with. Unclean. How dirty is unclean? You're more unclean than I'm unclean. Is that unclean? It's all unclean, isn't it? Every bit of it. Being unclean doesn't have so much to do about what it is. Being unclean has to do with what it's not.
it ain't clean.
It ain't holy. It ain't right. If I had a cup of water there, and one drop of poison would kill me. If I had one drop of poison in that cup, it's unclean. It's deadly. If the whole cup was poison, it's deadly. It's unclean. It used to, I don't think it would do now. Skull and crossbones was poison in the old cartoons, wouldn't it? If it was a little tiny bottle, or if it was a tractor trailer full of it, deadly. Unclean. That's what we are. The Lord's got to reveal that to us. It says in verse 3, we dwell in the tombs. We don't know any different. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We are just blotted sepulchres. Nothing but death. Death. And we had this horrible hindrance that we breathe air, and I eat, and I sleep, and I wake up, and I think I'm alive. I have no spiritual life. Dead. Living in tombs. We don't know the difference. Imagine the smell of that. Back then, they didn't have formaldehyde and all these inventions that man has nowadays. That would have been a rank place, wouldn't it? Summertime. But you can become nose blind to those things, can't you? And John was talking about that today. Sometimes we like to be nose blind. Years ago, I was overseas and living in a tent for an extended period of time. And boy, that first month, everybody smelled bad. You know what I mean? You get 30 men in a tiny tent, and I ain't real happy with everybody just yet. Y'all offend me. And you know, after about 30, 60 days, you eat the same food every day. You drink the same drinks every day. You do the same thing every day. All of a sudden, nobody smelled bad. We all smelled the same. You ever walked up that street? You ever go to work? You ever turn on the TV? It smells the same as me, doesn't it? Bleed right in. Don't know the difference. Job told us that man drinks iniquity like water, don't they? A fish don't know it's wet. It has to be pulled out of the water. Look here in verse 3. He said, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No. Not even with chains. Chains wouldn't bind him. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. They tried this multiple times. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. What's that? They tried to bind him and couldn't. That's true. Spiritually, what is that to us? Other men try to bind other men in the law. Let me put some chains on you. You can't do that no more. What are you thinking? Knock that off. Look what the law says. And it was continually broken, wasn't it? Put some laws on me, I'm going to break them. Isn't that our instinct? Adam, you got all these wonderful trees. Eat at any tree you want. Don't touch that tree. What's the first one we run to? Isn't that right? Every one of us. I always said, don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those that do. Failed at that. Other men tried to comfort him. They bound him with law, but they tried to comfort him by binding him to an experience. Oh, this worked last time. Do you remember? He was baptized. Pull your card out. Look at that. Do you remember what somebody said to you one time? Something nice somebody said? A feeling that you had on the inside when he was warm and fuzzy? They tried to bind him in comfort. An experience that failed. And it says, neither could any man tame him. Or wasn't he tamed? He returned to his sin. I returned to my sin. I returned to my way that I thought was right. I returned to my defense, my pride, and horribly, I turned to my thought that I could fix everything. I can do this by myself. I don't need nobody. We're bound by our sin nature. That is our will. It's bound to this flesh. We fail in Adam and we fall continually. Others try to tame us for a little while. Boy, I can just walk the straight and narrow for a season. But the chains and fetters, all those are internal, aren't they? Sin has dominion. It has rule over us. Paul asked in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am. Not that I used to be. That I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Nothing's working. Is the preacher going to do it? Doctrine going to do it? Clean living, prayers, oh, is my Bible reading going to do it? Ignoring it? Put that aside. Don't pay no attention. No, that's not going to do it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the deliverer. That's the strong one. Verse 5 here says, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Oh, he was zealous to make a change. Paul said his brethren after the flesh, they were zealous. They had a zeal for God, but they didn't know him. Those prophets of Baal, The wives and King Ahab were down there.
They were zealous. They cut themselves.
Lord wasn't burning up their sacrifice, and they said, we must have the wrong blood. I'm going to provide my blood. What stone were they cutting themselves with? The stone tablets of the law. What? Let me cut these things off with that. Trying to heal ourselves don't work. How many times have you seen someone just ruining their life in this world? And people beg them. Family comes to them. What are you doing? Knock it off. You're ruining your family. You're hurting your children. You're hurting your wife. You're hurting your friends. Why won't they stop? Surely someone told this man, knock it off. Quit. Act right, didn't they? Why won't they straighten up? Why didn't he straighten up? Why didn't I straighten up? I had an untamed spirit in me. That was a problem. Why do we ruin ourselves in religion? Untamed spirits. There it says there in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. When a child of God sees Christ, barely, far off, they will run to him and they will worship him. They'll run to a person and they'll worship a person. When he saw the sovereign, almighty, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, the Messiah of God. That very one that was promised to Adam, to Abraham, Moses, every one of them, every one of us. He saw the Lamb of God, just like John the Baptist. He ran to him. He worshipped him. That's what Isaiah saw, wasn't it? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, that's who he saw, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and all those angels, they cried out, holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They saw it. This man saw the Lord. The Lord. No wonder he ran and worshiped. If we saw him, we'll run and worship. One sinner today, this morning, could see him. See him and run to him and worship him. Oh, what a blessing that would be. You know what? Something important about this too? You know how he saw Christ? Why he saw him? He was there. The Lord was there. He comes to his sheep, and we do run as he gives us power to do so. We worship him as he enables us, but make no mistake about it, he comes to us first. He comes to us first. We won't see him if he's not in our presence. Is that too simple? He has to come to us. So many people say, well, I found the Lord, and I searched him out, and I did this, and I did that. You didn't if he didn't do it for you. You haven't met him yet. If we preach this same Jesus, we preach. If they got to preach, we preach. If we preach this same Jesus, he is our message. People's going to see him in truth. They'll see him in his majesty, in his glory, in his mighty and just to save sinners. They'll see him lifted up, him glorified. That's what in John 12 it said, we would see Jesus. This is the hour's come that the Son of Man will be glorified. If you're going to see him, he's going to get all the glory. It goes hand in hand. Romans 10 said, how shall they call on him and who they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him and who they've not heard? Somebody's going to have to tell us about it. And if they hear another Jesus, they cannot see this one. You're looking to a wrong one. John 6:40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. That's who we need to see. No one else could help this man, but he saw the one that could. No one else could conquer him, but he saw the one that could. And he ran to him. Not to the disciples. The apostles standing right there. I'd like to meet them, wouldn't you? I'd like to hear what they'd have to tell me. Knocked them out of the way. Ran to Jesus. Ran to the Lord. No man gave him an invitation to come to him. Did you know that? Just walk up here. That's all you need to. Here's the words to say. Here's a prayer. Recite this, and he'll do something for you. No, he saw the Lord. Saw his King in front of him. He didn't wait to get clothes on. You know that? He didn't wait to clean up his act before he came to him. He didn't wait to get rid of the demons first. He ran. He came just like he is because he saw the Lord. And he ran to a person and worshiped a person. The one who's able to save to the uttermost. Now he ran and worshiped the Lord, but those demons, they cried out too, didn't they? Look here in verse 7. And
cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." In the religion of man, what seems good to a man, all these demons and evil spirits and sinners get along just fine. People hate God. They get along just fine. But when they come in contact with the true and living God, they rebel. They rebel. Even the demons believe in one God, don't they? Even the demons know of His power and His sovereign right to save in all things. They knew He was the Son of God. But they will not bow to Him. They want left alone. They want left alone. Turn over to Luke 11 real quick. Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 20. Our Lord speaks and He says, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is upon you. When a strong man," who's a strong man? That's demons, evil spirits, Satan, a proud sinner. "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace," oh, his goods are in peace. He didn't have worry. He doesn't have family dispute. There's no split apart. All they just go to a different church, don't they? More so than that, it goes deeper. His house is at peace. This house is at peace. They ain't two natures warring within him. Ain't an old man and a new man fighting. Like Paul said, "Wretched man that I am." That's still with me. I'm walking this earth. "But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils." That's what we're going to see in our text. Everything we trusted in, it ain't Christ, is going to go away. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." When you see Christ, when you see Him high and lifted up, Him preached, you're either for Him or against Him. There's no straddling the fence. If you're sitting on a fence, you're going to come down on one side or the other. You either agree, we could agree to that, can't we? Or you don't. Black and white. It's cut and dry. Back in our text here in Mark, this Gadarene man, he saw the one who was not only stronger than him, but stronger than the demons within him that no other men could deal with. Satan can defeat any man or woman. I've met some poor people in this world sometimes that say, I'm warring against Satan. Don't try it. You're going to lose by yourself. Not the God man. He bruised his heel, he crushed his head. That's who we need. Here in verse 8 says, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." This man saw Christ. He ran to him. He worshipped him. And those demons wanted nothing to do with God, and they were cast out, removed from him. We don't need to do something for God, do we? God needs to do something for the sinner. God needs to do something for the sinner. Now verses 9 through 14. The Lord cast all them demons in a pig, didn't he? I stole this from him. Can I leave the pigs alone? Is that alright? I've got some light on that, and I can explain, and the Lord shows us how He does this. But you know that blind man that the Lord spit on the ground, and He gave him sight? He went back to his neighbors and they said, "How?" Not "who." And that didn't suit him. And he took him to the Pharisees. "Well, you gotta go to church now." "How? How?" They asked him six times. "How did you get your sight?" Not once it said, "Boy, you can see now." Who did that? I want us to leave here today not walking out knowing the how people are so concerned about. I want us to see who does it. That's what I want us to see. Who does it? This man was pleased. These demons were out of him. He was content. He was calmed, wasn't he? But not everybody is happy. Something wonderful happened. They ain't all happy. Look here in verse 14. "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done." Not who. They went out to see what. What was done. Verse 15. "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil." He was possessed with the devil. That's how they named him. Wasn't it? I bumped into some folks. I said, "I don't want to be called a sinner. I'm a saint now." Don't you ever call me a sinner. 2,000 years ago, there was a thief on a cross, weren't they? God saved that thief on the cross, and he's in glory right now. What's his name? Thief on the cross. This man is the man with the demons, the demonic man. Who is he? Man with the demons. He's in glory. Rahab, the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Naaman the leper, the Samaritan woman with how many husbands? Five husbands. That's who she was, wasn't it? They're all in glory right now. Paul reminded us always, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. He said, that's a horrible thing. Why would you bring that up? Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save sinners. That's not a discouragement, that's hope. I don't want to hear that, Kevin. Well, if you was a sinner, you would. Whosoever. I'm the worst of the worst. Isn't that right? Every one of us. People said, Paul said he was a chief of sinners. And boy, I always imagine Paul being short. I was going to kind of pet on him and say, I know you think so, buddy, but you ain't. I ain't. Every one of you that's been, had demons removed out of you, and you saw the Lord and you worshiped him, that's us. That's me. Don't ever run from or deny what you were. Don't brag on it either. That can happen too, can't it? I'll tell you how bad I was worse than you was. Don't brag on it, but don't run from it. But you give Christ all the glory because he saved you from yourself. That's what it saved us from. Those things, looking to see, those people looking to see what happened. How did they find this man? They want to see what? How? How did they find him? Look here in verse 15. And they came to see Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. This man was sitting. He wasn't running about. He wasn't in that physical exercise of religion and waving his arms around and hooting and hollering. He was sitting. What y'all doing? Y'all seated, right? He was sitting. He was at peace with God. That's why he said. How are we going to get peace with God? Christ must do it. He must do it. The person is our peace. This man was clothed. He was clothed. In Luke's account, he tells us this man was naked. And last time I went to a cemetery, there ain't a whole lot of clothes laying around a cemetery, is there? Where did they get clothes to dress this man? Christ gave him his garment. He robed him. He must do that. We can't robe ourselves. We must be robed in his righteousness. Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. And this man was in his right mind. Just like that prodigal son. He came to himself. Luke said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. To not submit to Christ, the Lord, is foolishness. If you see him, to not submit to him, not bow to his feet and worship him, it's foolishness. You ain't in your right mind. It's insane. To try to clothe yourself, put on your own righteousness, polish up the garments that he gave you and try to make them a little bit better, make atonement for yourself all alone, is foolishness. Uzziah learned that, didn't he? You don't approach God without a mediator. That's foolishness. Not in your right mind. But to bow to the Lord. To trust him for everything. For all and in all. That's called a right mind. Now you're in your right mind. It says at the end of verse 15, and they were afraid. They weren't afraid of this man, were they? He was sitting there. He was fine. They bound him before. They ganged up on him. But they got him bound at least enough so they could get away. They weren't afraid of him. They were afraid of Christ, just as those demons were. They were rebelling against him. Read on in verse 16. And they saw it and told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. That's insane. That's not a right mind. They saw these things. They were told about these things. They heard and they saw, didn't they? But the Lord hadn't come to them in power. He hadn't revealed himself into them. They had the proof sitting right in front of them. And they said, won't you just leave? Won't you just get out of here? Why would they want him to leave? I preached a message not too long ago. Will thou be made whole? You come to that man and ask him. You going to be made whole? There's a whole lot that goes into that, doesn't it? You don't make yourself whole. You have to be made righteous. You don't have a hand. Work has to be all the Lord, doesn't it? Will they suffer with Christ and his sheep and not chide them, not go against them? Will we be made whole? There's going to come at a cost, isn't it? The Lord said, they hear my voice and they follow me. You can serve other people. You can serve the Lord's people and not serve the Lord, but you can't serve the Lord and not serve His people. It goes hand in hand. You won't be together. And they'd have to commit all to Him. Not just associate with Him. Not just get some fish and some bread out of it. You give lock, stock, and barrel. You have everything. Make me whole. If you will, you can make me whole. Make me whole. The Lord did just as they wanted it. They didn't want no part of that stuff. I don't want to suffer with the Lord's people. I don't want to be shamed because of Him. And I don't want Him doing everything for me. I can do it myself. You get out of here. And He did just what they wanted. Just what they asked. And He left. What a horrible thing. Let them alone. Would you want to live in that city after Christ left? With a multitude of people that didn't want anything to do with God, anything to do with His gospel, anything to do with His salvation and His Son. That's how it is all over this world right now. In 1 Samuel 3, He said, "The word of the Lord is precious in our day." It was then, nothing's changed. The word of the Lord is precious now. Precious right now. But that's not what this man that God saved did, was it? He didn't say, "Get out of here." Look here at verse 18. "And when he was come into the ship, he that was had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." Lord, I want to stay with you. I see you. I know you. I hear you. I worship you. And I don't want to leave. Jacob, I'm going to hold on to you. I ain't letting you go. I'm going to stay with you. That's what Ruth said to Naomi. Your God's my God. Your people's my people. Wherever you eat dinner, that's where I'm eating dinner. Where you buried at, that's where I'm going to be buried at. One. We're knit together. Just as much as that pinky finger is to that thumb to that ear. Knit together. That body of Christ. That's what he prayed. But the Lord said in verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things that you did, that you cleaned up, that you professed. No, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." The Lord just cleansed him, didn't he? "And hath had compassion on me." Compassion on me. And he departed. He obeyed the Lord, didn't he? He obeyed. He was sent and he obeyed. "And began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Why do people marvel? Why do people marvel? Kevin, I read these scriptures, and I can kind of agree with what you said a little bit, didn't I? I can see how maybe you might be reaching a little bit, and people I can kind of see that. Why would someone marvel, though? I'll tell you what happened to me. God loved me. A lot of y'all know me. What little bit bad you know is only part of it. God loved me. God was gracious in coming to me, in revealing Himself to me. He had mercy on me of all people. Everybody in this room, the least likely He'd have mercy on me. And I'm going to go tell folks, you need mercy, you need cleanse, you need a righteousness before a holy God that you offended. He can do it for me, He can do it for anybody. Come to Him. Come to Him. We can publish what the Lord's done for us, don't we? It ain't us. What has the Lord done for us? He had compassion on me. He had compassion on me. And whenever we do that, those that He's had compassion on, we won't be with them. I like being here. I enjoy visiting with you folks. It makes for a wonderful body of believers, don't we? What peace there is in a person. I hope that's a blessing.
Those of you who attend here regularly have heard me say this many times. One of my greatest fears is Lord, give us what we want. By nature, He gave us what He gave them in that city that they wanted. He left. Thank God He had compassion on somebody. Kevin, that was outstanding. Thank you. We're going to take about a 15-minute break. I think maybe I overreached last night. So we're going to take about a 15-minute break. We hear the music. Come back because I don't want to delay too long, okay?